Welcome to Botches Off-Road. Join us as we talk about everything from gear reviews to trail stories, tent camping to rock landing, and all things to do with the outdoors. The world has ended. Everything is ending. Everything. Nothing exists. Everyone is dead. How are you surviving?
Well, everyone's dead, so we're not.
You know,
we need some more context. Yeah, need some more context.
I find that funny because I found three different meme videos talk about the rapture happening.
Yeah, the rapture happened. I forgot.
Yeah.
I hope you guys had fun getting raptured. I'm currently doing this from heaven.
Well, that makes
one of us. Everyone turned into zombies. You're not a zombie. How are you surviving?
Getting on my knees.
For the zombies?
Yeah, tiring them out one at a time.
Oh, God. How many dicks are going to fall off in your face?
If I do it right, all of them.
Oh, God.
I mean, doesn't that kind of stop it from happening? Sound like I have to pick them up off the floor. Come on. We're not monsters here. We're not doing 5-second rule.
Let's say the zombies have happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with vehicles. What are you going to do with the vehicle? Are you keeping your current vehicle? Would you move on to something else?
I guess I would keep my current vehicle as long as it can last and not degrade fast on me from dealing with stuff.
Yeah, I would keep the FJ. It's already pretty much outfitted. I can kind of pull into the woods in the middle of nowhere, camp out of it, live out of it. And at that point, a rooftop tent is a necessity as far as having a place to sleep.
I would say a rooftop tent is literally killing yourself.
I don't think so. Wait, what zombies are we going by? Because, like, DayZ zombies, like, we're all fucked. But, like, I always think of the Walking Dead zombies, and they can't climb on top of cars.
Yeah, they can.
I don't know. Every Walking Dead zombie I've ever seen are just like on the side of police cars.
They climb. Yeah, but imagine if there's a swarm. Now you've got them climbing on each other into your car. They're going to rip right through.
I will
tent.
Hear them before the swarm gets there.
and then you're going to get out, put your tent down, and get in the truck to leave? No, rooftop tent is literal suicide.
I'm mopping them motherfuckers. And then I'm getting in my truck and running. But I also have an elevated, I have the higher ground. I have the higher ground. I'll mink it. I'll have a sword. I'll have something physical so I'm not wasting rounds and not drawing attention. A spear is my go-to. I will have a nice long spear that will go where my shovel attachment was. It'll just, mount right to the side of the fucking truck. And, I'll just sit there and just...
Yeah, so I'm ditching the Forerunner.
I gotta think, like...
Yeah?
Alex is gonna say, like, a Camry.
No. though. Like, a 2014 Camry. It's new enough, it doesn't have issues as often. It gets decent fuel mileage, so you can go longer on a tank. And... parts for them are literally on every block. Best choice. But no, it's not.
I'm sorry. Before I lose my thought, though, let me say this. I would take any SUV because of storage that has a sunroof. So I have an escape. Just in case I crash, something happens, I have a way to get out. Now... don't smile like you don't think I'm big. Like, I know I'm big. If we're surviving, I'd be able to fit through one of those. I'd lose the weight, but...
That's not why I'm smiling.
I'm just thinking you want a rooftop tent. You're not going to be able to get through the sunroof with that.
Well, that's why I said I'm recanting.
I'm just thinking you're missing the low-hanging fruit here. Because, I'm sorry, but Grayling isn't that far, and there are some very nice Humvees up there that I know for a fact... will run for a very long time. Might even have a gun mounted to the roof.
I don't know. Maybe I'll just get an electric vehicle.
And Gavin's dead.
I don't know.
In all honesty,
gas pumps
zombie apocalypse.
Shut down.
Yeah, but you can manually pump gas.
The power grid can go down too, then you're definitely screwed.
Right. So you got an electric vehicle, and like when moving, the electric vehicle is probably the better choice because it makes, you know, virtually no sound except for tires.
Yeah.
But you're not going to have anywhere to charge that motherfucker. What if you're going to have to run a generator?
What if I used and accrued, like, let's say I just pick a Rivian and let's put this into, like, I have a home base or the back of the Rivian, the box of it is filled with solar panels that I could pull out.
It won't work.
Why not?
So
I mean, it'd be like a trickle charge effectively, but
yeah. So the original Tesla had solar panels and they ended up ditching them because in like 4 or 5 days, they couldn't even get a mile off of a solar panel charge. Solar panels are like the least efficient way to make electricity.
Although I do think a motorcycle would probably be the best overall. It would really stretch things out. You just really lose that protection, though. Maybe a side-by-side with armor?
No, I really...
Because
they
can
tow
anywhere
off-road. I think something like a Humvee, maybe a little bigger, maybe go up to, like, I don't know, an MRAP.
Aren't those notoriously, like, unreliable, though, Hummers?
Humvees?
Yeah.
No.
No, they just are not creature comfort at all.
Yeah. Well,
beat the snot out of.
Right. I feel like I've even heard from you, like, they're not reliable. People are always fixing them. Like, maybe that's because they're not maintained, but, like, you fuck up your Hummer tire, you have to go back to base.
The problem is, if you have the smallest issue with a Humvee, it gets redlined and has to be fixed. So let's say it's got a super minor power steering leak. That Humvee is now redlined and has to go and get fixed.
Yeah.
Because they're overly maintained. So the smallest little problems. I've seen Humvees get deadlined because there was a small piece of fiberglass cracked off the hood.
If I'm going off of my family's not alive anymore because they're weak and slow. I made them slower than me so that I could get away. If I was going off of that, I would probably just transfer vehicles. Like, I think I'd pack light enough because I don't have to, you know, maybe take a couple pack out boxes and then transfer the pack out boxes to the new vehicle and then just keep going and then transfer as I need
would
to.
Just, I would literally aim for a Humvee and just use that to go north, because zombies freeze in the snow because they don't create body heat. So if you can get somewhere like Mackinac Island, my thought process here, benefits to Mackinac Island: once you clean off the island, because obviously there's going to be zombies on the island, hopefully the apocalypse hits in winter time when there's less zombies on the island.
Do they though? Like, in the winter they still had zombies, like in Walking Dead.
Yeah, but it was pretty unrealistic. Almost every other depiction of zombies has them freezing in the cold.
I guess it really depends, because, like, if it's more of, like, a rabies of the brain, they could still produce body heat. Like, I mean, if we're thinking the next COVID vaccine that came out was the one that did it, you know what I mean? I mean, The Walking Dead itself is pretty unbelievable, but a advanced rabies... which would be scarier. Yeah, my survivability would decrease quite a bit, but then they'd be able to run over the ice to the island. Not that they'd be focused on that, but
advanced rabies would put you more in the category of, like, the movie The Crazies, and less in the category of zombies.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's, I don't know. 'Cause, like, at the same time when you have brain rot and bone decay and stuff like that, essentially you could just wait that out as well. The longer you wait, the longer you stay secluded away from everything, the better your chances of them just dying off.
Yep.
So something with a lot of acreage, like, I would, like, a UP to me is not population dense and is close enough. I think my main issue with doing an island was supply. Like, you could do deer, absolutely.
That's why Mackinac Island's such a good choice, because it's only a mile from mainland. So you get up there, you live off what's on the island already. And then winter comes, you go on mainland when all the zombies are frozen, and you collect supplies and then come back.
Yes, if zombies freeze in the winter, that's a major game changer.
So almost every historical depiction of zombies before The Walking Dead depicted them freezing. The book World War Z, not the movie, because the movie's fucking hot fucking garbage. But
the movie's
the
scary.
Book it. The movie's fucking stupid, dude. It's not.
No,
it's not scary. It's not funny.
It's scary it's scary from the aspect that if there were a zombie apocalypse of those type, that would be scary, because they are fucking fast. They feel no pain. It would not be hard to get overwhelmed. You would not be able to outrun them because they have no, sense of pain or tired. Yeah. So, like, that's what would scare the fuck out of me.
Which is true in the book. So, the movie was very loosely based off the book. The original manuscript for the movie, which when they were coming out with the movie, I was really excited about, was almost ripped directly out of the book. Because the book is written in a way where it could itself be the script for the movie.
Yeah, right.
Because it's an interviewer going around and interviewing people that survived the zombie war. So you could do all the parts with the interviewer could be, straight out of the book, because it's all back and forth conversation. There's very little narration. Mm-hmm. So you could have that pulled directly out of it. And then when he starts talking to someone, have him do flashbacks to depict the zombie part. It would have been an amazing movie.
Yeah.
But Brad Pitt didn't like it because it didn't have enough Brad Pitt, so he fired the guy and hired someone else to write it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So we're going off of zombies freeze in the winter. Do they awaken in the summer? Do they thaw out like bears?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, because they're not actually alive. So they don't die in the cold.
Yeah.
Well, then can't they just go underwater and like walk to the island?
That happens in the movie as well. In the book, not the movie, I'm sorry. And that is a problem, but once they get underwater, the pressure is too much for them to ascend.
Assuming that they would just walk, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but after a while, the pressure gets to be too much, and they can't ascend the bank on the other side.
Hmm.
Then you got to send people down with old school diving equipment, the old copper stuff, to start cleaning out the ocean floors. That was in the book too.
Yeah, because wouldn't they just poison the ocean by being in it?
Yeah, so you got to clean it out. Yep.
Okay. All right. So we've established the type of zombie. I guess they freeze during winter. They would have difficulty traversing large depths of water. So an island isn't horrible. I just, like, when I think of Mackinac Island, and I know we said that, like, if we are completely the only survivors, and it's not just, because, like, an island like that would naturally be secluded from that kind of thing. They would stop running boats.
Not Mackinac, though, because there's so many visitors. So by the time that the virus has been found, I guarantee you it would have spread.
Then wouldn't Drummond Island be a better option?
Okay.
Isle Royale would be nice, too.
The reason that Mackinac is the better option is that Mackinac Island has a fort with lookout towers on it. So in the winter, or not necessarily winter, but warmer winter days when zombies do thaw out, you have the ability to look farther across the lakes and see if there's anything coming. Yeah, and it gives you the ability to keep lookout for other people coming across the water.
True, true. That is a good point.
And there's cannons.
That may or may not work.
I mean,
they use them.
I was
going to
say, what stops a cannon from not working? No fuse? Like, you just load it full of silverware?
I don't know. Structurally.
Well, you never know until you find out, I guess.
They fire them off.
At least one.
I know they do it in Michilimackinac, too, but...
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I guess an island would be cool. I think if there was a chance Because to me, like, with COVID, once that finally got out, I think there would be a chance of a higher chance of survivors on islands like that that could just shut the boats down. That was my aspect. It was like, you come to that island, dude, you're already, like, outnumbered by survivors. So that was kind of my... But, yeah, I mean, if you are literally the only ones alive by some weird grace, then, yeah, island would be great for that. Island that already has an established, you know, plenty of horses, plenty of buildings and food for, I think, a summer. Maybe medicine. I'm sure they have a pharmacy, stuff like that. I think my original thought was to find a large amount of acreage in the UP backed up against National Forest and, you know, start out there. That being extremely spread out, I could, you know, the roads and the population density is really low anyway.
So part of the issue with being on mainland, even the UP, is there are larger cities in the UP.
Yeah.
And when those zombies run out of food in those locations, they're going to start migrating to where there's food. And that means that those larger cities will have mass migration going right past you.
Well, would they? Because technically Wisconsin would be a whole lot easier to get to. And the highest...
Where are you going in the UP? Because you got Sault Ste. Marie sitting on the East Coast. That's pretty sketch, dude.
I don't know. I don't know exactly where. Maybe Keweenaw?
I mean, Keweenaw wouldn't be a terrible option.
Because, like, that was what we kind of talked about.
No, but... then you have the buffer of the bridge.
Exactly. And all you have to do is raise that up. Take a boat across. It wouldn't be a big boat. And that is a canal, so it would be too deep for a zombie to get through at most points. Most, not all. But
yeah, Keweenaw wouldn't be a terrible option. Most of the UP, though, I'd be pretty... If you're trying to hunker down and stay in one spot long term, I'd be pretty sketched out by it.
Yeah, I mean, island would be nice. I'm thinking more of, like, the boating across and stuff, but jet boats exist.
Of course. Then comes that option. Why not just go get a boat?
You live on a boat and you can hit mainlands up, come back out on the boat. Yeah. That's true. There are some large boats out there.
Zombie apocalypse happens. How many tankers do we have here in the state of Michigan?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not even talking necessarily ocean. Like, you could live just in Lake Michigan probably your entire lifetime. Yep. Sitting on one of them tankers.
Honestly, if you dock a freighter out about 30 feet off of main, you know, not 30 feet off of main shore, because you know what I mean, but, like, if you dock it out 50, however long it takes so that it can float freely, anchor it down, and have a boat to go back and forth, you can use that whole entire freighter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Then just have a vehicle or something at the drop point that you can use to go back and forth. A boat there.
Or just find one.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, for the first, what, probably 5 years, you're going to have no issue just finding a vehicle and taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then after that 5 years, fuel starts to be gone. Parts have started to dry rot out.
Then we're using bicycles. I don't know. I'd be like, the homesteader in me thinks that a horse is the way to go. But they spook.
The equine, or the cowboy in me, let's say, tells me that I know a horse isn't the option.
Yeah. I mean, they spook easy, not just, too.
Not just because they spook, but now you've got a whole nother life that you have to take care of and maintain.
Well, like, grass isn't going to be super hard to find. And I know there's a lot of medication and veterinary stuff you have to look into as far as
I'm
like,
not worried
alive,
about,
but...
I'm not worried about medication or grass. I'm worried about the fact that if a zombie bites that horse is going down, and now you're down with the horse.
Yeah, that is something I have thought about, but I don't know.
And with horses, you'd have to have the ability to farrier their feet, and it'd have to be you, because you're not going to pay a farrier to come to this zombie apocalypse. Yeah, it just... horses just wouldn't work long term. Maybe like the first couple of weeks you'd be okay with a horse, or first couple of months.
I don't know.
But as soon as their feet get too long, you're not going to be able to ride them because they're just going to go lame.
Well, they naturally had to have been able to treat themselves. I mean, there are wild horses.
Have you ever seen the hoofs of a wild horse? You can't ride a wild horse because their hooves are so bad. They can only handle their own weight.
No, yeah. I haven't seen a wild horse, but I'm just trying to think of, like, I thought that people said that they naturally wore down their hooves.
They do out west, kind of.
I'll say, I would assume not to the extent of having a rider on their back, though.
I wonder how the natives did it, then.
They farriered them. They cut their feet.
Yeah, like with what? They just sitting there with
whatever
a rock?
Whatever tools they had. You got to think, we brought horses over here. Horses aren't natural to the United States.
No, yep. Well, the Spain did.
Either like, way.
But what I'm saying is, like, Spain did. They had plenty of time. Like, Native Americans had them for a long enough time before they had iron. I mean, they didn't have iron tools for farrying. There was a gap between Spain invading and us coming.
Natives, I don't think the Indians.
Natives had iron tools for a long time.
They were smelting their own iron?
They were just trading them around. I mean, well, that's what there I'm were saying, some like, that smelted them, too.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. We didn't bring
iron tools to Native Americans.
And they already had them?
Well, yeah, because the Aztecs had them. The Mayans had them. So then they would trade up the coast. The actual knowledge had been traded. I mean, I'm not saying they're as good as the iron tools we had.
But even so, you can cut
a horse's hoof with a sharp rock.
I'm thinking of it like from, like, there's a gap between where the Spain came and invaded. There's obviously going to be some kind of separation between, like, the Great Plains natives and the natives from South Mexico area. But, like, as far as, like, historically speaking, I haven't seen dug up evidence of iron tools. Like, if they would do that, why wouldn't they make axes iron or their
and
small arrows?
Maybe they
iron.
Weren't. Maybe, well, some of those were iron.
Some, yeah, later.
The other thing is the iron tools corrode and disappear faster than stone tools. So even if they did, a lot of that's been rusted away and disintegrated by now.
Well, I don't know.
But I looked it up. Just for you.
Seems weird.
Because
when I took, like, I've taken and I've done flint knapping with Native Americans. I used to do a class, like I used to teach a class on the reserve up in Traverse City. And historically speaking, they never mentioned having metal tools for this kind of stuff. I could imagine them chipping away at it or a rock. I mean, if you soak a hoof in water, it's softer. It's just a curiosity. I'm not saying anyone's right or wrong here. It's just one of those things where, like, my whole perception would be changed if they somehow had access to iron tools but didn't change any of their weaponry to iron.
I will say that might be regional beast too. Regional base as well, because some of them probably didn't get as much as the shoreline from, like, the sea lines or seashores.
Yep. So pre-European iron generally came from meteorite iron. There are sources in New York, northern Michigan, and parts of Illinois. They also would get them from Asian shipwrecks along the Pacific coast, which obviously not ours.
Yeah.
And they also would trade coming down from the Bering Strait.
Yeah.
They did not develop the technology, but they did have iron tools that they had traded.
Yeah. So that's very much regional based. And then
regional.
Based off of whoever comes them.
So like
by the 19th century,
the West mostly.
Yeah.
By the 19th century, the Navajo, which is who I've been thinking about this whole time,
yeah,
had incorporated techniques that they got from the Mexican or Mexican techniques and Spanish techniques.
So it is more on region, like your central, yep, who didn't have trade, or at least they didn't have a coastal trade, or
right,
might not, yeah, have had that kind of technology.
So Michigan probably would, oh, have not seen any of it for the most part.
Well, they did have natural really, iron deposits in Michigan too, so I wonder if...
Here's a, yeah, really fun tidbit, though. Native Americans were the first to mine and work copper in Lake Superior and Keweenaw Peninsula between 5,000 BC and something else.
Yeah, I didn't
know that. I can believe that because there's a major... I'm trying to think of the one up there, but there's like a god that was based off the copper. Yeah.
And they used copper to produce tools such as arrowheads, knives, farrier equipment... Say it. I don't know. That's not in there. I'm just saying. Oh, okay. Maybe.
Maybe.
So I mean, they had ways. They had to farrier the horse's feet because the horse doesn't naturally keep its feet in a spot where it can be ridden or worked.
Mm-hmm.
They just keep them in a spot where they're comfortable.
So, also it says they walked around freely with shorter or longer hooves, depending on how far they traveled in a day. So, yep, with normal travel and normal riding, long riding, they would naturally
they also,
wear down their hooves.
For long distance, they would have multiple horses to allow actual time on the horse's feet to get worn down on its own.
Yeah, because here it says on here that... They would rotate horses, and through the distances they traveled, they naturally wore down the hooves as well.
Who's your source?
The Great American Adventures.
I'm looking at Native American Horse Education Foundation and Cowell USA. And AmericanHeritage.com has stuff that I've told you.
Let's see. All right, we're going to keep moving. So yeah, they did.
Horses,
sorry,
are fun.
Yeah, so I just realized as I went to go search up more, I was like, oh, we're missing the point here. So yes, horses obviously would not. Unless you were traveling very long distances consistently and rotating them.
And had multiple horses.
Right. Because, like, ferrying isn't super hard, but there is a lot of, like, not nuance, but, like, technique to it.
Dude, ferrying's hard. You got to be so careful. Because an improper farrier job will leave that horse completely lame and unusable.
I don't know. Our farrier taught me how to do it. And obviously, I don't know everything of 40, you know, a farrier that's been doing it for 40 years, but the basics of clipping. But anyway.
Clipping or digging? Unless you're talking about goats, you're not doing a whole lot of clipping.
Yeah, he was...
That's like a very minor part.
He was clipping the horseshoes, sanding the edges down for shoes, and
horseshoes,
then digging out the inside with the curved
knife. Horseshoes
knife.
Are a whole different thing.
Well, wouldn't you shoe them if you had the technology?
I would rather not to shoe them. Shoeing a horse makes them more prone to lameness.
Then why does every...
You only shoe a horse if it actually requires being shoed. If they've got a foot that's fucked up or something, that's when you would shoe.
I mean, every horse gets shoed for shows.
Mm. No, not at all.
I mean, my grandma did horse shows and reining, and every one of them was shoed.
Unless you're doing European style,
no, they were
really
Western
shoe.
Reining. They did shoes on all of them, and she did competition.
Yeah, we never shoe for Western, almost never. I'm not gonna say never, but you rarely shoe for Western.
Oh, Yeah, we had professional horse trainer there. I mean, we boarded 50 horses. They all got shoed. The ones that did reining, the Western style, just about all of them.
Yeah, no, shoeing is like, if they need it, shoe them. Yeah, but yeah, we board. I think he said we're up to 70 this year, and we've got. I mean, same thing. We got a couple trainers.
It's weird how different people do it, because. I mean, it was like that my whole life when I was there.
Yeah. But yeah, horses are cool. There's a lot you can do with a horse.
There is.
But they're not good for zombies.
No. No. Maybe a donkey, because those bitches can kick. I'll have a couple of those as guard horses.
Mule. Mule has a good bite and a good kick.
And you could ride.
Yeah,
have plenty of
you
dogs.
You can ride a donkey.
I'd have like a dog. They can hear really well.
Hey, I got healers. That's like your typical apocalypse dog. So,
I don't know. I feel like they'd nip at the side of the ankles of the zombies too much. They'd end up just getting
Mad
infected.
Max. No, the Mad Max dog is a healer.
I've never seen Mad Max.
Oh my god.
It just seemed goofy.
But that was the joke.
Oh, I did play the Mad Max video game. That was pretty cool. But
yeah, you look like the Mad Max dog, but you're being loud and need to go somewhere else.
German Shepherd, Will Smith's zombie German Shepherd. That was sad.
Who
was it? German Shepherd? Oh, Malwall.
No, it was a German Shepherd. It was not no Malinois. 100% a German Shepherd.
They don't say whether it's a German. They say it's either a German Shepherd or a Malinois. Her name's Abby.
It's definitely a German Shepherd. You could tell.
I think it's a German Shepherd. This one says it's a German Shepherd. Dude, this AI bullshit is so annoying because it'll give you answers that just come out of fucking nowhere.
Oh my god, and people believe them with 100%. They think it's 100% accurate, too.
Like, I said that, right? And then I'm scrolling down, and now every listing says it's a German Shepherd. Which I agreed, it looked like a German Shepherd. But I asked, is it a German Shepherd or a Malinois, or however you pronounce that word? And it told me that we don't know whether it was a German Shepherd or a Malinois.
We definitely know. I'm sure.
And then
Abby
I scroll
knows.
Down, and they're. Yeah. I scroll down, and they all say German Shepherd.
I'm sure Abby doesn't have any kind of. Identity crisis. I think she knows what she is.
Wow. Back in 2022, she turned 15. I wonder if she's still around.
That was such a sad movie when that happened. I hate dogs dying 17? In movies.
What's up, Mark?
It says 17 for her.
Oh, so she's still alive?
In 2022.
Yeah, there ain't no way she's fucking... 19.
2022, it told me she turned 15.
Are you
AI
overviewing?
Oh, the one I found, it says 17. No, mine's on Facebook. Mine's a
I'm
Facebook
on Reddit.
Post. I'm on a Facebook post.
Man, all of this poor...
And this is what media does to people. One will tell you one thing, the other will tell you a whole different, and this is why we don't listen to
And then
media.
You're shooting up ICE facilities, and... What? Okay, completely off topic, but this is something weighing on me.
Okay, okay, real quick, finish up the dog thing. I think it is a German Shepherd, just how young she was. She looked like a Malinois for the tightness.
Gotcha. So, why is it that all of these shooters, these leftist shooters, are inscribing on their bullets all these phrases? Are they actually doing it? Like, I believe that these people are fucking crazy. And I believe that there are people shooting stuff up. But do we really want to take that the evidence they're finding is all this stuff inscribed on casings?
Well, I think because this person in particular saw the Charlie thing and was like,
that could
I'm going to do that.
Could be.
Because you don't
You're
see
right.
it
That's
before.
A good point.
You did see it with the guy that did the healthcare thing, I believe, right? Didn't he have
you
something
know,
on
I
it?
I don't know.
or maybe it was in his memoir or something. I thought there was, I thought he did some kind of inscription on his shells, and I'm assuming they're not talking about the bullets; they're talking about the casings.
Yeah,
it's the casing. So the bullets get mangled as soon as it hits.
Yeah. No, that might be where it comes from, because the guy who killed the CEO of United Healthcare, he had the words "deny, defend, oppose" written on his casing.
Yeah, that's what it was. Oh, yeah, so man. So I think that's something that people saw and were like, "Ooh, you know, let's." I mean, this is a message. Now, whether I believe that they are of their own free will or not, I think they're of their own free will, but I think that they were manipulated.
Oh, definitely. 100%. FBI is all over this, or CIA, one of the two.
I don't know if it's even FBI or CIA as much as it is another country infiltrating some of these extremist Reddit groups and 4chan groups and manipulating people into this.
I agree with that, but at the same time, I trust the FBI so little since they manipulated those three guys into trying to kidnap the governor. I mean, that was 100% entrapment.
Yeah. I mean, I don't trust our government, but I don't trust other governments more.
Because there was those, you remember those three guys that were trying to kidnap Governor Whitmer?
No.
Oh, this is like 2018, 19, somewhere in there. I don't even remember. Maybe 2020. It was 2020.
Faintly.
During COVID.
Faintly.
So the FBI had told them that they should abduct the governor, that they wanted them to, and then the FBI arrested them for trying to kidnap the governor.
Well,
so all of them got off because they actually had proof of being told to do it.
Yeah. Also, just because someone tells you to jump off the bridge doesn't mean you need to. Like, it's like, I'm not going to get into that argument. A different argument, different off topic.
No, I agree with you. But most of these guys were ex-service members, and when you get told by higher ups in our government to do something, there's usually a reason. So you think you're being a patriot by doing it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's brainwashing.
Yeah, they were 100% entrapped.
I mean,
like, that's how it
went. The CIA, our government has had a history of trying to brainwash and manipulate and see what they can get away with. You know, I definitely think that they were sleeper cells or just cells. And this is my opinion from Israel. Because Israel, there's a lot, if you look into it, of how much, like, they're the only country that can lobby our government legally without any forms, without anything like that. Like, they can throw millions of dollars at government officials with no repercussions because I think it was JFK. JFK started getting them... was asking them to sign, I can't remember what bill it is, but every other country had already signed it. He was trying to get them to do it. They said they would. He goes, hey, you know, why have you done it? Why haven't you done it? Haven't you done it? And then all of a sudden he got assassinated. And they were the only country left out. And since then, they have been the only country left out. And to me, not saying that they did it, but I'm saying that they might have.
So you guys know how my eyes change color, right? They're really blue today, and I'm just now noticing it because I'm looking at myself in the camera.
Yeah, the FBI's got me on a watch list now. It, just so everybody knows, I'm not suicidal. I am a very safe driver, and I don't plan on doing anything.
As a driver, I give him a C-, but
Bologna.
The rest of it tracks.
Never gotten in a crash in my whole life.
I've been in three, but two of them were caused by drunk drivers, and I wasn't the drunk driver.
That's what they all say.
Neither of these times was I drunk driving.
Yeah, the points on your license say otherwise. Moving
on. I have
no
points on my license.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm just trying to fuck with you. But
I have had points on my license for driving fast back in my street racing days.
I've never even gotten a ticket. Okay, I've gotten one ticket. I have gotten one ticket. I was 18, delivering pizzas. I didn't fill out the meter. I got the ticket for it. Even though they technically leave pizza drivers alone because they're usually not in that spot for more than, like, 10 minutes. So that was bullshit.
I have even had my license suspended. But told that's you. Because I failed to show up in court for a ticket I didn't know I had in a state that I didn't live in.
Yeah, I had a bench warrant for mine because I didn't know. Like, I got the ticket, put it in my glove box, and then I ended up selling the Suburban. Completely forgot about the ticket. And then, like, years later, my mom's like, there are people knocking on my door looking for you. There's a warrant for your arrest. I'm like, what? So I went online, paid it, and that's been that. But that was probably 10 years ago. Baloney.
Yeah, mine was about... Since I've been home in Michigan, I have not had a ticket.
Yeah.
But when I lived in Arizona, it was like at least one a month, dude. It was fucking terrible. But there's like quadruple the police force down there, and they can be driving anything. Like, the one that sticks out the most is when we drive through Tucson, and there was a yellow, not the new Mustang, the like 2018, 2017 Mustang body style. There was a yellow Mustang. And that thing was, he'd pull fucking everyone over, dude. He'd pull up next to a car, act like he was going to race, and then pull you over right there.
Yeah. Yeah, you do have the choice. I don't know. All right, so to recap, 9/11, JFK assassination, and the Charlie Kirk assassination, and the ICE assassination were all orchestrated by Israel. There is a long line of... history there that you can look into, but I won't. I'm not going into that. But that's my theory.
Well, JFK, we like have documents. We did it.
Yeah, documents.
Like we have proven that the CIA killed JFK. Like that's a known fact at this point.
Yeah, is it though?
Like, yeah.
Like I'm just saying more of like
conspiracy anymore.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, who was controlling the CIA at that time and who was controlling them. Well, so like I'm thinking parents, on 9/11, the guys that hijacked the plane, it has been confirmed that they had Israeli accents and not, accents from the place that they were supposedly from. There were insurance claim or insurance put on the towers. There was a lot of like,
okay, so
evidence
is Israeli accents and Iraqi accents are almost identical.
And there was a speech analysis done on it on the recording saying that it was Israeli.
They're like the same.
Well, maybe to us, but maybe not to a professional.
They're pretty freaking close, dude. But anyways, side point. We all know that we never landed on the moon. We actually landed on Neptune because the moon doesn't exist. It's a hologram projected by the Russians.
Okay, that's out there. That's almost as bad as your Earth is flat,
dude,
theory.
I saw a reel, a guy talking about his conspiracy, and he's like... He's saying, you know how we've been getting better and better at solving Rubik's cubes, and we can solve it in closer and closer to 0 seconds. Well, soon we're going to be doing it in negative seconds, and that's how you're going to be able to travel back in time.
Okay.
And Hasbro wants to travel back in time to get all the first run Rubik's cubes, so they could just double their profits by reselling old stock. And then the world is going to get filled with Rubik's cubes, and we're all going to die of Rubik's cubes.
Rubik's cubics. That's going to be the name of it. Rubik's cubics. Well, okay. So if you guys want to do more research into the Israeli thing and why I think that, there's like a big thing behind like the Jewish being like behind all of the major conflicts of the world as more of the perpetrators. There's like a super big wormhole about this. And things start to track the more you look into it. But anyway, because they caused the zombie apocalypse.
You go down any wormhole and things start to make tracks. I am not by any means an Israeli sympathizer.
I'm not at all.
I think that modern day Israel is kind of an evil place by using the name of historical Israel to get away with doing stuff by saying they're the Holy Land.
They're not even a real place. Like, they're not even Google Maps.
Israel is very much so a real place, but...
No, I don't mean, like, it's not real. I'm just saying, like, it's not an established... Like, they established it, what, in the 20s?
But that was them getting their
sovereign
land back, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Personally, I think the modern day government is Israel is so far from the actual chosen people of God that it's not by any means what it originally was. It's not.
Well,
but that being said, I'm by no means against Israel or for Israel. I think that Israel has done a lot of very evil things, but I don't think that they're behind every major war that's happened. It doesn't line up. But you go down any rabbit hole and someone will put that together some string hole theory and then boom, now you believe it.
Well, I don't know, man. It's got a lot of evidence to back it up. It's not like they're just saying it. There's like actual like documents, there's like actual,
I mean, I can make evidence too.
Well, if you want to go down that route, we could have CIA could have bullshitted. I mean, that documents are so old by the time they got released, they could have been already doctored.
Everything, I think it's all, everything's bullshit. We live in a fog. Nothing is real.
I don't, it's a fascination for me to go through these, but I don't, my life isn't revolving around it because in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. Like
mine did for a long time. I loved researching that topic.
Yeah. Like I think it's fascinating, but like at the grand scheme of things, any of these conspiracies that have happened in the past, they're not affecting my life. Well, they might be affecting my life. I just don't know it, but I don't know. Anyway, here and there, Israel is what caused the zombie apocalypse. So anywho, we're back in the zombie apocalypse now after 15 minutes of horse talk and then 15 minutes of conspiracy talk. We're back into the zombie apocalypse. Alex has chose a Humvee. I've chose any vehicle I can get behind after my FJ dies. Mark, you said you were going to stay with your own vehicle for as
until
long as
it dies.
Could. Yep.
Yep.
So now we're moving on to, we can only use what we can carry weapon-wise. You're allowed to have two long arms and one sidearm and one weapon of melee. Top of your head.
I am going to forego the melee because I don't need to carry that. I just need to carry a good shotgun, specifically a shotgun. Rifles in a zombie apocalypse are less useful because you have to be dead on accurate, whereas with a shotgun with buckshot in it, you can damage the brain a lot easier. So I'm going to go with a good shotgun, preferably something bullpup to make it easier to throw around. And then if I run out of ammo, I will use the back of my shotgun as a melee weapon.
What about you, Mark?
I kind of agree with the shotgun, but at the same time, not necessarily for killing zombies. I would have a bow on me for hunting.
Yep. That's fair. I mean, that is pretty... It's a reusable ammo, mostly. Plenty of it around.
It's quiet.
Quiet. Very
well,
quiet.
Well, that too. Hunting will be quiet for hunting. Zombies.
I think I would have a shorter-barreled semi-automatic shotgun. Not bullpup, but that's more of just because I'm more comfortable with shooting the typical style of shotgun. And then I would probably run an AR for mid-range only, just for the potential other person I might run across, or deer, anything I need to hunt. And then I would still, I would still have some kind of spear. I think spear is kind of your best go-around for keeping your reach long, keeping it quiet. So I'd probably stick with the spear. for a melee weapon if I had to. I mean, even a really sharp rebar rod would be good enough, but
a really pointy stick.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, they would be easy to come by. If I had to leave it in something, like leave it in a head, if it got jammed somewhere, I could move on. It's not like it's going to be hard to find. They're easy to pull back out. They're not barbed or nothing. Then they give you that long reach that if you're kind of in a place where you kind of pinned up, let's say the top of a car or something like that, they give you that extra reach so you don't kind of endanger yourself without having to use ammo. So we all have our weapons. We all have where we would go. Are you traveling in a group or are you traveling solo for long term? Not short term.
Group of 4 to 5 vehicles with a max of 10 people.
Yeah, I would agree.
Same.
I mean, you have the argument like more mouths to feed, but if I'm trying to establish a long term position, let's say we're all going to Mackinac Island, the three of us, our immediate family, and a couple of other friends that we know, like Duncan, Shane. Let's just say that's our group. We have a pretty good wide range of knowledge, which is good. You know, we have some knowledge on welding, which we will be able to weld. We have some basic carpentry knowledge amongst all of us. So,
got quite a few vets.
Say that again?
Vets. Veterans.
Oh, yes.
Military experiences.
Veterinarians. Yeah. I thought you meant veterinarians.
Clarify that. No.
but yeah, like I think there is an argument with like more mouths to feed, which means it would be a little harder, but I think the knowledge and the security you get from that larger group of people, because I mean, you can't watch a wall 24/7. You have to sleep.
Yep.
It makes better sense to have 10 people have rotations of 2 people.
Yep.
You know, watching the wall, rotating off, sleeping, having a rotation of 2 people, watching the wall, guarding perimeter, doing perimeter walks. Like, and I would say 10 people is probably your sweet spot, depending on the size of the place you're trying to live in. But I think Mackinac Island's really big too, though.
Makes it so perfect.
The fort would be the best place, obviously, because you don't have to.
Yep.
There's not a lot you have to do to get it ready.
Right.
So, you know, 2 people, one on each corner of the wall, walking it. I mean, I'd prefer probably them together, just in case, but.
Really, once you've got the island cleaned off, though, there's not going to be a whole lot coming on the island.
No, yeah, not if they're freezing in the winter and they can't make it, really. I would say, like, most of them won't make it eventually.
And the water is going to help hide where you're at, so that'll make them less likely to want to come to the island.
Yeah.
They're going to be more likely to want to travel south. Towards,
yeah, I mean,
you know, down here.
Large cities and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I mean,
fun facts, Gavin. Every time you hit your vape, we hear a quick bzzz.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wish you would have said that earlier.
Well, it took me a while to put together where the sound was coming from. Hit it again, real quick. Yeah, every time you hit it, your microphone, it's like an electronic noise, not
great.
Not the vape sound.
It's like, yeah, interference.
We'll see if it. Yeah, it's kind of what it sounds like. It's really kind of weird.
Great. Sorry about that, guys. Hopefully we can clean that out of there. I haven't had to worry about that much. But okay, so yeah, we're on the island, 10 of us. Yeah, that's a pretty solid plan. Now we know. Now we have our bug out plan.
Yeah. This is Editor Alex coming at you in the future from this episode. So we're like a week later. I'm doing the editing, and for whatever reason, the last like 4 minutes got cut off of this episode. We just don't have it. I have mine and Mark's, but Gavin's is distorted and broken. So, you know, pretty much all we said in the last 5 minutes was a bunch of bullshit about, I don't even know, something about zombies and something else about zombies, and then, you know, it was over. So, on that note, we'll catch you guys later.